A lot of things to talk about. We got plenty on plate. But right now, I got to tell you, I'm moving over to the Right Side Way opening monologue brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. And oh, by the way, he's your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, I'm going to do this a little different today. Rather than telling a story per se, I want to tell a story about someone. And we're already in campaign mode again, right? We are. I think we just got through one, didn't we? Yes. But Alabama and much of the rest of the nation is going to be hearing from candidates who will be vying to serve and lead in the Senate, the governor's office, and even more. I mean, we're already seeing it getting underway. And we need to be thinking, in my opinion, about what kind of person we want for each role. I say look at the character along with the resume. And having said that, it brought to mind one of the men that I admire for his character. A few years ago, Republican icon Senator Bob Dole passed away at the amazing age of 98. And I couldn't help but reflect on sort of a few personal touches in my life from Senator Dole. I mean, not too personal, really. No way I could ever say he knew who I was, but he knew my dad. He was one of those few members of the political stratosphere that, you know, I somehow felt connected to from afar. From his status as a wounded combat veteran, a small-town guy who served in his state legislature, I was there to hear him speak once at a rally in Gadsden, Alabama. And then there was his interaction with my own father. My dad was a big fan of Bob Dole, worked in his campaign for the presidency. Somehow, it all sort of weaves together, I guess, in my mind to sort of create this fabric of familiarity that makes him a little more identifiable, more so than many of the others who serve in D.C. that I read about all the time. At every turn, I find myself pretty much admiring what I saw and heard about Bob Dole. Now, I'm sure there's detractors out there, always are. I'm sure there are those who had policy points at some level that I may have disagreed with Bob Dole, but his honor and his reputation, they actually remained intact throughout all of his years of service. I looked up his military record once. Bronze Star for Valor, 2 Purple Hearts for wounds sustained in Italy in World War II as he tried to rescue one of his men under fire. The wounds he sustained that day caused doctors to tell him that he would be paralyzed for life, and initially he was from the neck down. He lay on the battlefield, Bob Dole did, for nearly a full day waiting to be evacuated. He spent several years and many surgeries regaining the use of most of his body. And I say most because he actually never fully got his right arm back. He was known for years in D.C. for his left-handed handshake. In the conference room at my law firm is a beautifully framed limited edition sketch of the White House. It was presented to my father after working on the National Republican Presidential Task Force when Senator Dole became the GOP candidate for president. He lost that year to Bill Clinton, but the grace, the poise, the sense of humor that he exhibited in the wake of the loss was evident in all of his follow-up interviews, including when he went on Saturday Night Live a week after the election to poke fun at Norm MacDonald, who had been impersonating throughout the campaign. The videos are still out there. You ought to check them out. They're pretty epic. But yeah, Bob Dole, he was a man who knew hardship, and he never let it keep him down. He fought for his country, and when he became so feeble that he could not stand, he had an assistant once help him to his feet so he could stand and salute the casket of his once rival but then became best friend, George H.W. Bush. My father was actually speaking with Dole once after he lost the presidential election. My dad asked him, "What are you going to do next?" And he said, "Phil," he said, "did you know that of all the monuments in D.C., there's not a single one built to honor the veterans of World War II? He said, "I'm going to make sure that happens." And he did. After not winning the presidency, he made it his life's work to honor those who had served in the war where he was wounded. I read that even up until he died at 98 years old, he could often be found in his wheelchair at the entrance to the National Monument to World War II veterans in D.C., greeting veterans as they arrived and thanking them for their service. So as I prepare for today's show, I thought about what it would mean if we had more like him. And I did some research, as I always do, and in the course of resourcing the show, I came across an article that had been printed in the Kansas City Star. And it was so good that I thought I really ought to devote part of my Right Side Way today to actually reading what his own hometown thought about him. Because I'll be honest with you, if your hometown loves you, that does say something. And the hometown of Russell, Kansas, they love Bob Dole. So here we go. Here's how they say it. Russell, Kansas, the hardscrabble, wind-strewn town on the railroad tracks out in the middle of the state where the Doles put down roots. Dole's hometown propelled him high and far to become the most significant politician in Kansas history, with the exception of maybe Dwight Eisenhower. The town molded him and then stood by him through all those campaigns. He was known to be dashing, handsome, articulate, certain of his views. But there was a time, though, when Bob Dole was something else. There was a time when he was a World War II veteran who was so shaky about his future that he doubted he even had one. Torn up by a barrage of bullets on an Italian hillside just days before the war ended, Dole had to relearn how to eat, how to dress, how to write. But he did it, not with his right hand, which would have been natural, but awkwardly with his left hand. His right arm was mostly useless the rest of his life, and Dole would come to appreciate people such as President Bill Clinton, who would actually reach out with their left hands to shake with him. There's a story from those days when he was laid up in the hospital. A guy named Chet Dawson had the old Main Street drugstore in Russell, Kansas, where Dole used to work as a soda jerk when he was in high school. He started the collection for Dole's hospital bills. He grabbed an empty cigar box, he put a sign on it that said, "The Dole Fund," and he placed it on the counter. Donations came in nickels and dimes and quarters. Banks pitched in. The total reached $1,800, which was a big sum back in the 40s. The surgeries came in waves. For Bob Dole, a doctor transplanted tendons from his leg to his right shoulder. A chunk of his scapula was removed. Muscles in Dole's neck were reconnected to his right arm. His doctor also helped him to understand something that Dole was loath to accept, which was that he would be partially disabled for the rest of his days. Dole had wanted to become a doctor, but that dream was now gone, replaced by a nightmare that he couldn't shake. He worried that he would actually wind up an invalid. And that fear, it is said, became sort of the jet fuel that pushed Dole onward year after year, race after race. He said, "I don't remember when it started," in a 60 Minutes interview once. "I don't remember when it started, but one day you get up and you say to yourself, let's start thinking about the future instead of the past, and maybe Bob Dole can actually do something." Well, he was raised by twin ideals. The first is that money isn't everything, and if something worth doing, it's worth doing right. The Doles actually lived on the wrong side of the tracks, but his parents, Doran and Bina Dole, they worked nonstop. They endured the terrors of the Dust Bowl. They raised four good kids, and as a boy, Bob Dole delivered newspapers, mowed lawns, and then at 13, he got the job at Dawson's drugstore where he honed his trademark wit while working the soda counter. He went on to become a state lawmaker, Russell County attorney, a congressman, a senator, and chairman of the Republican National Committee. Hard work became Dole's calling card. He said, "I guess I was very competitive anyway, and even after the disability, I became more competitive. I was trying to prove to myself that I could still make it, still do it." President Gerald Ford shot Dole into national prominence by picking him as his 1976 running mate at the Kansas City GOP convention. In what would become a pattern, Dole kicked off his campaign in his old hometown in front of his old friends. More than 10,000 people were said to have been in the crowd that August day in Russell, Kansas, when the President of the United States and the Doles mounted the stage in front of the courthouse where Dole had toiled. And with the smell of hot dogs in the air, Dole told the crowd that he never imagined that one day he'd be on a national ticket. He said, "But it shows what you can do in small-town America. You don't need all the wealth and all the material things in the world to succeed." And Dole said, "I want to reemphasize, if I've done anything, it's because of people I've known up and down Main Street here in Russell, Kansas. And I can recall a time when I needed help." And he said the people of Russell helped. And at that point, it is said that in the middle of his speech, it just got to him. Dole halted in mid-sentence. His left hand went up to his face. The crowd grew silent. And Bob Dole stood there and cried. And he sobbed so hard, it said, that his shoulder shook. A few claps and cheers came from the crowd, but then President Ford stood up and started to applaud, and the crowd joined in, and for a full half minute, they cheered and they shouted and they whistled. In an interview later, he said that was a long time ago, but he told the crowd that day, he said, "I want to thank you for it again." And there he was, 11 years later, back again running for president in what would be his best shot at the White House, that time on the frigid November 1987 day. And Dawson, Bub Dawson, the guy who owned the old drugstore where he used to work, came and presented him with the same cigar box that he had used to collect that $1,800 for his hospital bills. But this time, the town had raised $100,000 to put in it. Bob Dole was the kind of guy who never forgot where he came from. And the folks in his hometown, they never forgot him. And I got to say, this is me talking now, not reading from the Kansas City Star, but as we hit this campaign season right now, I want to encourage you, think about what kind of person you want representing you. I mean, their resume might be great, right? But what kind of person are they? Bob Dole, he was not just one of a kind. There's more like him out there. But he proved it doesn't take having to have everything to be able to do something as long as you have character. So Bob Dole, I would say, is an absolute profile in character. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.